Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Petra Podcast Preview. This month's podcast is really going to focus on boundaries. I just have really been convicted that this is a critical topic that we need to discuss both from a personal and from a business standpoint. In today's society, we have the world at our fingertips. We are just inundated with choices. We can have our coffee or tea any way we want. We get our salads, our burritos, fajitas, pasta, made to order. We're encouraged to chase after our dreams, to go for the gold, to take no prisoners, to grab hold of our own happiness. And in the midst of all these choices, it's easy to think that whatever we decide to do is good for us. And that carries over into the world of business. So while we're going to focus on personal choices a lot in this podcast, we do so keeping in mind that business is just made up of people making choices. And the same parameters that we often use to make our personal choices, we use to make our business choices. A lack of boundary in one area of our life often carries over to a lack of boundaries in other areas of our lives. And so this idea that we can be deceived into believing that whatever actions we need to take to achieve our goals are okay is really what's at the heart of so many issues with ethics and code of conducts and responsibility and accountability. Commitments are canceled, contracts are broken, jobs are abandoned, promises are only binding if they're still convenient. We are a society that is desperately in need of boundaries. The idea of setting boundaries may not be popular, but it is very necessary. So I hope you'll continue to listen to this podcast episode as we explore the concept of setting boundaries in our own lives. I welcome you to not only listen to this episode, but also to comment on this topic on LinkedIn. You can get involved in the conversation by connecting to either the company page or my personal page. So now let's dig in. When we think of boundaries in business, they're generally set by an ethics policy or a code of conduct. And there's nothing wrong with these, but they are not enough. I'm not here to debate whether these are sufficient. We just need to look at the fruit of these policies and codes to know that they are not. Despite the existence of ethics policies and codes of conduct and annual training or reminders or refreshers on them, there is still fraud, corruption, embezzlement, and the like making the headlines on a regular basis. Now, I'm not here to try to solve business problems because, quite frankly, they are multifaceted and complex and far beyond the scope of a short podcast. Instead, I would like to use the business problem to key in on our own need for boundaries in our life. Again, as I stated at the beginning, with the understanding that these type of boundaries and this type of mindset will carry into business. We often use our personal experiences to inform businesses, and we can also do the reverse. And that's what we're going to do here on this podcast. We're going to do a little bit of back and forth. We're going to learn about establishing personal boundaries by examining business, but we're going to also learn about how businesses can benefit from our own personal boundaries that we set. So one of the first things we need to talk about when we talk about setting boundaries is that boundaries have to be firmly defined. They need to be firmly defined so that there is no question as to the boundary, even though it may be inconvenient. Because the reality is, it's only when it's inconvenient that you're going to start to question whether it's truly a boundary or not. In that situation, you need to know that the boundary can't be reset. It can't be adjusted. But if it's not well defined, then it becomes very easy to massage it. And once that happens, the message is sent that the boundary is at least somewhat negotiable under the right circumstances. And negotiable boundaries will lead to compromise. And at some point, that compromise will cost you. Now, there was a point in my life where I considered social drinking okay. And that social drinking grew during times of stress, during times of heavy workloads and other things. And being in the accounting profession and finance profession, you can imagine that some of those stress and workloads continued on for some period of time. But I did reach a point where I had to make a decision. What was my true boundary? And I decided that this boundary was complete abstinence, no alcoholic beverages. Now, since that time, there have been many opportunities for me to waver on this boundary and have a glass of wine or a beer in a social setting. There are times when I passed on networking events because of their setting, for example, at a wine tasting event. Now, if the boundary was more loosely defined, if, one or two drinks, if it benefited the business, was acceptable, but if it wasn't going to benefit the business, then it wasn't acceptable. If it's that loosely defined, I could have easily justified participating in the wine tasting for the connections that I'll make or strengthen. After all, once one night and one or two drinks. But then where does it end? Why not have just one beer with the guys on the golf course? How about one glass of champagne to celebrate the special occasion, that wedding, promotion, fill in the blank, that is really important to a key business contact? See, boundaries aren't meant to be moved or flexed. They're meant to be lines that you don't cross, and that can only happen if they are well defined. The second thing about boundaries we've got to keep in mind is boundaries have to be enforced. When a boundary is crossed, there needs to be consequences. A zero tolerance mentality is a must when it comes to boundaries. It's tempting to make excuses for behaviors when we're fond of a person. Just think of our kids, for example. And the reality is, we tend to be pretty fond of ourselves. So we can think of many reasons why we should be let off the hook. We're quick to promise that we won't do it again. But unless there is a real consequence to our actions, we will do it again. So the best way to hold ourselves accountable for our boundaries is to share them publicly and then to lead our lives transparently. Now, I'm a passionately driven person. That's a nice way of saying it's easy for me to overcommit and work too much. I've had to set a boundary on my work life, and in that regard, my husband is my accountability partner. We've agreed that he has permission to take my laptop and my smartphone and give them back when he feels that I've rested enough. He's not to accept any excuses. It doesn't matter what deadlines are looming. He's done that twice over the past 3 years or so. And I really don't like it. I don't like when he takes my toys away. So I've got much better at policing myself. I'm more realistic in the commitments that I make with people. I'm more attuned to the signals that my body sends. And I'm more likely to shut down before he can send me the time out. This really has allowed me to grow, to become more disciplined, and that's really part of the benefit of boundaries. And as I stated at the beginning, boundaries that you set in one area of your life tend to carry over into another. In order to really comply with that boundary in my life, I had to address other issues: how I manage my time, how I prioritized commitments, what were my key goals, what was my personal mission statement. I had to have some way to really deal with all the different requests that I get so that I could comply with this boundary. So that was a positive outcome of having set a boundary that was clear and that was enforced. The other aspect of a boundary, the third one that we're going to look at, is that it's clearly communicated. A fuzzily communicated boundary isn't really a boundary. If no one will know whether you've crossed over the line or not, then you can't really be out of compliance. The boundary can't be enforced. You can't have a zero tolerance mentality with ambiguous boundaries that can be interpreted differently by different people based on circumstances or perspectives. Now, obviously, I already said that it needs to be firmly defined. So, what we're dealing with here is not so much that it's not firmly defined, but that you don't communicate it well enough for other people to truly hold you accountable, where you give yourself some slack in that sense and really try to make sure that there's just enough wiggle room that that accountability partner doesn't make your life too difficult or too hard. But the boundary that you set, if it is to be enforced, has to be clearly communicated. The other person has to understand it, and they have to be empowered to be able to call you out on it. Now, when I first moved in this way with some of the things in my life, I resisted. The reality is, moving from an environment with unclear, soft, or inconsistently enforced boundaries to an environment with clear, firm, and enforced boundaries will create a backlash. You won't like it when it comes to you, and if you do it in your business, people won't like it. Your employees won't like it, managers, on down the line. You will resist, they will resist. It's like putting yourself on a budget after years of free spending. It's easy to justify breaking your budget for one reason or another. The accountability partner, whether it's a dear friend or a spouse, that person that calls you out and refuses to allow you or strongly discourages you, depending on how much authority they have, but whoever refuses that and takes that role and stops you from spending that money won't be well liked by you at the moment. You may even begin to resist them during that first 30 to 90 days of change. They're infringing on your freedom. They're holding you accountable, and sometimes that just doesn't feel good. This reaction to change shouldn't be unexpected. It shouldn't come as a surprise. It's really a part of our psychology. So we need to understand that and be prepared to deal with it. We need to understand that it's normal to perhaps even throw a little bit of a tantrum. Just because we've outgrown our 2-year-old and 3-year-old stage, or at least most of us have, doesn't mean we've outgrown our ability to throw tantrums. We just throw them in different ways, right? So, you might be familiar with that person that likes to sulk or give the silent treatment or do whatever, right? It's just the adult form of a temper tantrum. So we need strategies for that, and we need to understand that there will be resistance when it comes to setting boundaries, especially in areas where we've had free rein. And in fact, not only will people resist and push back, but some will even become toxic. Now, I'm hoping that you won't be that person that becomes toxic when boundaries are trying to be set. But you may end up with an employee, going back to the business side of this, that will become toxic, and they will try to persuade people to their side through their negative talk. They're looking for allies to join the resistance. So ranting and raving on social media or through other back channels can cause serious tensions and rifts. And that's the goal, and you have to get in front of that. So when this type of toxic behavior occurs, you have to confront it. Now, how you confront it, that's a topic for perhaps another podcast, or really as a part of our discussion on managing change and the trainings that we do related to that. But for purposes of this podcast, it's pretty safe to say that avoidance is not an option. So when we just think about these boundaries as we're wrapping up and just shifting back to that for a moment before we close out our time together, I think it's really important to reinforce our last point. Boundaries that aren't well communicated aren't really boundaries. We are very good at letting ourselves off the hook. If you truly, truly, truly want to comply with that boundary, it has got to be well communicated. And there has to be an enforcement structure because we are not, or generally are not capable of being as hard on ourselves as we need to be to comply with those boundaries. And sometimes, quite frankly, we're just plain old blindsided or just blind and don't see how that action would bump us up against our boundaries or would go against our boundaries. So it is important to have someone that is able to be that sounding board. So our time is up today. So I hope you've enjoyed this edition of the learning preview. And if you would like to learn more about boundaries, or more specifically about personal management, or about change management, or some of the psychology of behavior, please just look at our e-newsletters. You can sign up for some of our online training. You can reach out to me directly via email. Contact information is available on the website. You can connect to our LinkedIn page. You can connect to our Facebook page. There's really no shortage of ways that you can stay connected, stay up to date, and really begin to move into that part of victorious living that is our calling as both Christians in the workplace, as Christian business owners, and just generally as leaders in the community.